brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur News, episode 019, 10/30/2014. Trolling to article number one. The marijuana industry could be bigger than the NFL by 2020. Take it away.
Source, The Washington Post. By Christopher Ingraham. A report out from Green Wave Advisors, a comprehensive research and financial analysis for the emerging legalized marijuana industry, projects that legal cannabis could be an industry with revenues of $35 billion by 2020, if marijuana is legalized at the federal level. They note that this is a floor representing revenues in the first year of countrywide legalization. To put that figure in perspective, $35 billion represents more annual revenue than the NFL, currently $10 billion, and is roughly on par with current revenues for the newspaper publishing industry, $38 billion, and the confectionery industry, $34 billion. Green Wave arrived at its numbers by considering existing and likely marijuana markets, medical and recreational, in states that already have them, as well as states that appear likely to open up such markets by 2020. According to the Huffington Post, Green Wave assumes 12 states plus DC will have legalized recreational marijuana in that time, with medical marijuana markets in 37 states. Currently, 23 states have legalized medical marijuana, and two have legalized the plant for recreational use. Even without full federal legalization, Green Wave projects legal marijuana revenues of $21 billion. It's worth noting that there's a fair degree of uncertainty surrounding these numbers. Current estimates place the size of the U.S. black market at anywhere from $10 to $120 billion. Predicting future marijuana sales may be a fool's errand, as evidenced by Colorado's difficulties in projecting marijuana tax revenues earlier this year. Considering the legal marijuana industry generated roughly $1.53 billion in revenues in 2013, according to industry research group ArcView Market Research, it's reasonable to assume there's a lot of growth potential between now and then. That potential has attracted investor interest, but enthusiasm remains constrained due to the uncertainties surrounding legal weed. The biggest buzzkill remains the federal government's classification of marijuana as a Schedule I substance, making it illegal for any use. The Justice Department has thus far taken a hands-off approach to legalization efforts in Washington and Colorado. But depending on who wins the White House in 2016, or who Obama nominates for the Attorney General slot until then, that situation could change on a dime. And the D still demonstrates occasional bursts of enthusiasm for raiding medical marijuana dispensaries. Just yesterday, the D raided two branches of the well-known pharmacy dispensary in the Los Angeles area. The dispensary has a reputation for being one of the best run in Los Angeles, but that didn't stop agents from seizing computers, cannabis, and cash from the locations. According to the Huffington Post's account, the DEA has not yet given any reason for doing so. In short, there's still a lot of risk involved in the marijuana business, and risk makes investors skittish. Regardless of the eventual legalization path, we're still looking at a good-sized industry that will generate a significant number of jobs and tax revenue. The concern is that we'll see an increase in societal harms associated with increased marijuana use. But as I've written repeatedly, these harms have stubbornly failed to materialize even as states have liberalized that marijuana laws over the past 10 years. And just yesterday, the Cato Institute released a working paper examining a variety of social and economic indicators in Colorado: marijuana use rates, crime, dropout and graduation rates, alcohol use, fatal car crashes, and many others, and concluded that changes in Colorado's marijuana policy have had minimal impact on marijuana use and the outcomes sometimes associated with use. Contrary to dire warnings by marijuana prohibitionists, legalization has so far been a non-event. The most discernible change in Colorado has come in the form of $45 million in marijuana tax revenue so far this year, high enough that the state government now must consider whether to refund some of it. The big question, then, is whether the federal government will try to obstruct the growth of the new industry, or instead choose to help regulate it sensibly.
Article number 2. Singer launches cannabis-infused wine. Take it away.
Source, thedrinksbusiness.com. By Simon Howland. American singer Melissa Etheridge has announced the launch of a range of products made from cannabis, including the cannabis-laced wine, aimed at people suffering from cancer. Etheridge is a longtime proponent of cannabis reform and, having survived breast cancer herself, has often touted the benefits of cannabis to alleviate side effects of chemotherapy and attributes her recovery to its use. In a recent interview with Bloomberg, Etheridge talked about her battle with cancer and the role cannabis played. As a cancer survivor, I know the ravages of a serious illness, and patients who are suffering deserve access to a medication that can provide them relief. Tonight, I stand with those patients, with their caregivers, and with the vast majority of New Yorkers who support medical marijuana, said Etheridge. The singer went on to extol the potential of cannabis. I believe this is a huge opportunity, a huge business and a huge market, and you're going to see my name with a lot of these things. I actually have a wine that's coming out. It's a cannabis-infused wine, which actually tastes amazing, said Etheridge. Etheridge, who has recently released a new album, entitled This Is Emmy, went on to say she hoped to bring her cannabis-infused wine to all medical marijuana states soon. I really look forward to bringing this to the world in a not scary way. Not a drug outlaw way. It's not that anymore. This is an American business that really needs a lot of help, said Etheridge. It remains to be seen whether Etheridge's Canna wines will follow Devon's Canna ales into the UK market.
Article number 3. Weed tourism. Have you booked your reservations? Take it away.
Source, National Geographic. By Laura Sikoran Pallet. On January 1, Colorado legalized the recreational use of marijuana. The whole nation of weed smokers, from Texas to New York, lit one up to celebrate the news. Nick Remaklis, born and raised in Kentucky, was one of them. As soon as he got some time off work, he headed to Denver to check out America's new smoker's oasis. It was great. I took a wonderful tour and learned so much about the industry, says the 29-year-old. It just felt great to know I wasn't doing something illegal. Remaklis is one of the growing number of visitors flocking to Washington and Colorado in search of some once forbidden grass, creating a brand new vice tourism industry. Fun for tourists, lucrative source of income for those states. Tours are popping up in Denver and Seattle, slowly transforming them into cannabis meccas, offering everything from good old-fashioned weed sampling to first-class spot cooking classes, where visitors can learn to make THC-infused ricotta stuffed bell peppers. Local dispensaries have been the first to notice a surge in out-of-state customers. We found that upwards of 80% of our revenue is coming from bordering states that have not yet legalized recreational marijuana, says Ryan Grigo, managing partner at Kennesser, a recreational dispensary in southern Colorado, just an hour and a half away from the state border. Most visitors are from Texas, Kansas, and Utah. With about 22 million weed-smoking Americans, and only two states offering legal recreational highs, a new wave of ganjapreneurs is ready to cash in. Colorado is starting to feel like an alpine Amsterdam, with marijuana tours and private cannabis clubs mushrooming all over, and attracting tourists from as far as Australia and Singapore. It's been very interesting to see the type of people who come to our tours, says J.J. Walker, the CEO of My 420 Tours. I first thought it was going to be a bunch of 20-somethings looking to get high, but most of our clients are actually over 40. Some have been saving for a long time, others have never tried it. We even had a terminally ill man recently who came here with his wife. The tours can be cathartic. It may have been a tour for most people, but it changed my life, says Remaklis, who decided to quit his job and move to Colorado from Louisville, after being shown around by the My 420 Tours crew. I fell in love with the city, the people and the culture. It's such an exciting time to be here. Now the young sales rep works for another tour company, So Mile High, whose three-day signature tour includes a private jet, fine dining, spa treatments and a luxury hotel room for the modest sum of $38,000. The hotel industry is also jumping on the weed wagon and starting to offer beds to potheads. Since smoking in public is still illegal in both states, a growing list of hotels allow clients to vaporize, smoke or ingest cannabis edibles. Colorado even has its own cannabis-friendly Airbnb-style site, Travel THC. So far, state authorities have welcomed the new industry, and it's no secret why. Weed sales are taxed at about 10%, and Colorado has already collected more than $29.7 million in taxes from recreational marijuana, surpassing taxes on medical sales. Washington is expecting to get $51.2 million in revenue between 2015 and 2017. Is vice tourism a smart model? If America's experience with gambling tourism says anything, profits might not be sustainable. Lured by the promise of attracting visitors, states rushed to loosen legislation and embarked on a full-blown casino-building frenzy. The glut, however, has led to a saturated market, a fall in customers, and casinos having to close their doors. Weed tourism could go down the same path as other states join the party. Colorado already has to share the tourism spotlight with Washington, the second American recreational pot market, which arrived at the party a little late. Retail sales only started in June, but it's picking up speed thanks to a small group of homegrown companies like Cannabus, a 30-foot mobile smoker's lounge. Weed tourism also raises fears of more local consumption by youngsters and the abuse of edibles, especially after the death of a 19-year-old student from Wyoming who jumped off his hotel balcony in Denver after eating marijuana-infused cookies. The increase of pot-related DUIs is also a serious concern in Washington, though in Colorado, highway fatalities have decreased since the legalization of marijuana. Years from now, people will look at this as part of the cultural landscape, as we now do with museums, says the enthusiastic Michael Gordon, CEO of Kush Tourism, a Seattle-based startup offering weed-themed tours and courses in bong glass-blowing, hash-making and using cannabis as medicine. Operators in the area, however, got ahead of themselves. Cannabis tourism will have a problem because the supplies aren't there yet. It's really spotty, says John Davis, executive director of the Coalition for Cannabis Standards and Ethics and CEO of Northwest Patient Resource Center, a medical dispensary in Seattle. He worries that newcomers will turn to the black market to supply tourists. It only takes one to tarnish the image of the whole industry, says Davis. Naysayers also claim pot tourism could hurt the city's image. But Seattle officials don't seem too worried. I think we will find that cannabis tourism will not be as strong in Seattle as it is in Colorado due to the fact that Seattle has had relaxed laws for simple possession of marijuana since 2004. We don't have the same newness factor, says Nick Lakita, a member of the Seattle City Council. Next latch onto weed tourism could be Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C., which are keeping an eye on Colorado and Washington State as they wait for citizens to vote on recreational legalization in November. Weed entrepreneurs have high hopes. We already have plans to expand to Seattle and maybe Las Vegas, says Walker of My 420 Tours. We'll soon also have the first pot-friendly hotel in a ski resort. Who knows, you might soon hear people saying, I went to Colorado for the marijuana, but the skiing was also nice.
All right, folks, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.